Ramsey TV.
Your question today is, does God still heal? My goodness, you people have all kinds of questions. I mean, you must think I know everything. Well, it's your lucky day because I do know everything. You're at the right place. This is MZTV. I'm your host, Martin Zender. That's what the MZ stands for in MZTV. And I'm here to answer the question, does God still heal? But I want to ask this question first, and that would be, could God still heal? Well, the answer to that is, of course, God can do anything he wants to do. And I'm convinced that he does heal people today, but he does it surreptitiously. He does it in private, in secret. He doesn't make a big deal of it like he used to in the old days. And now we come to the old days versus the new days. Just like yesterday, you were listening, the old covenant compared to the new covenant. What has God done lately? Well, we need to ask this question for sure with healing. God healing randomly in his own time, according to his own whim, is one thing. But today, people want God to heal on demand. They think they can claim the Holy Spirit, order God to heal, and because they have faith, and of course, the ones who are most successful at this have the most faith, then God has to act. He's got his hands tied behind his back. Well, the Spirit's so powerful in those people. They look so good and they're praying so well. What can I do? I got to heal this guy. That's not the way it works today, because what these people are trying to do today is imitate glories of the past. The Christians, I almost call them believers. The Christians today, again, as I told you yesterday, love physical manifestations because they are just like Israelites, if they aren't literally Israelites from way back, in that they want a sign. They need a sign. And God, in the early days when he was revealing himself to humanity, gave many signs. Because signs were necessary. God, understanding the human weakness, understanding that the human needs to see something, needs to have a bone thrown their way once in a while, God did do miraculous things for the nation Israel. Parted the Red Sea, produced water and food in the wilderness. The sun stood still for a while. That was a good one. Elijah miraculously supplied with food by a raisin. I think maybe the raven brought raisins, could be. I don't know what it was. What do ravens eat? I would have sent the raven out to Pollo Tropical or possibly Chipotle. And we know there were resurrections from the dead. Then come to the days of our Lord on the earth, miracle after miracle after miracle, because Israel's looking for it. Jesus acknowledges this generation is seeking a sign. He gave them signs. And in fact, he didn't do them a favor, because those signs will actually stand against them at the great white throne, because all the evidence of the Messiah was in their midst. On the other hand, I will say this, that there's a dual purpose for those miracles and those healings and those signs in that day. It will stand as a testimony against the hard-hearted Israelites at the great white throne, but it did also nudge people who are on the fence. For instance, the guy who was granted sight, the guy who was blind from birth, he became a fan of the Messiah after he was healed from his blindness. He was impressed, and he followed the Lord from that day on. Well, he didn't have much of a choice. They kicked him out of the temple. Yes, because the Pharisees were very jealous that Jesus, out in the wilderness doing all these marvelous miracles, word got back to Jerusalem. They became jealous, and they didn't like the idea that people were leaving them because they couldn't produce any miracles. This was an act of God going on. And so people gravitated toward the miracles. Of course, It's human nature. I understand it. But today it's a different thing. I wouldn't trust it today. I'm going to get to that. But back in the day, it was necessary for that dual purpose to nudge some people over the edge. Well, he did raise Jairus' daughter. Was that Peter? He did raise the centurion's son from the dead. So, I guess this is a Messiah. So those people were reasonable, rational, logical. But the other people were so jealous they couldn't see it. They were blinded by hate of Jesus Christ because he was pulling away followers toward himself. So again, all these things were necessary when God was still revealing himself to humanity. And it all belongs to Israel. All these things belong to the people of the flesh. Israel are people of the flesh. Their blessings are fleshly. Their blessings are on the earth. They are blessed because of Abraham, whose sign was circumcision, physical. The evidence of his being favored by God was having babies and babies and more babies. So from the beginning, God acknowledged that the way that he would bless Israel, really from start to finish, was physical. Sustenance in the wilderness, miracles to help their unbelief. And in the kingdom, it will be a land like the promised land of the old days, flowing with milk and honey. Israelites loved to grow stuff, right? They're expert farmers. And so what would be better for them than to have the curse removed from the earth and all sorts of stuff start growing again in large quantities and immense sizes without having to weed? That would be save a lot of trouble, and that's what's going to happen. And many of you have told me that you aren't too crazy about going to the celestial realm because having been on earth for these many years, you want to see the earth finally flourish, and you wouldn't mind eating a watermelon the size of a Volkswagen. You wouldn't mind. It would be fun, right? And I admit that I wouldn't mind seeing it too, and we're going to see it. We can come and go, as I've been telling you. There's no problem with that. But today, two things happened that stopped the miracles, stopped the healing as a matter of course. Say, God still slips one in once in a while. And this is just my hypothesis. I'm not even sure of that. It could be that God doesn't do any healings today. It could be. I know that it's not part of his MO today because we are in a new administration. We're in a new era, completely new era. It is called the era of the grace of God. It is an era during which a new gospel is going out that is not dependent on signs. It's not dependent on watermelons the size of Volkswagens. It's not. It's a walk of complete faith. It is a time period when people don't see things and they don't have healings. This is why I'm very suspicious of healings today, because I know the era we are in. And I know that also, see, here's the thing too. I think that healings are going to come back as the kingdom draws near. But you have to be careful because there will be a mix of legitimate and false. So after the kingdom was rejected in the time of Christ, the miracles went away slowly. It was a trickle. And Peter did some miracles, made a lame man walk. Even Paul made a lame man walk. So people needed, Paul was such a radical, Paul was such an outsider, an outlier, an anomaly, that he needed miracles to get him started, to kickstart his work. And so, yeah, he raised a guy from the dead who fell asleep after one of his talks, during one of his talks, made a lame man walk. Pieces of Paul's clothing would be passed around and people would be miraculously healed. So it was great. And again, we were seeing the end of signs in the kingdom, the beginning of signs with Paul. But as I ended yesterday's show with what has God said lately and what has God done lately, as you see Paul's ministry progressing through the book of Acts and through his own letters, you find him saying things like, we progress from glory to glory. So Paul's ministry goes from glory to glory. There is a glory of the physical. Sure there is. Everybody likes a good miracle once in a while, but there's a greater glory of the non-physical, of the not being seen, right? Thomas saying, I won't believe that Jesus is raised from the dead until I put my hand in his nail prints. Because the other disciples told him, we saw him. He was here. Sorry you missed it. You were out. You had to go. You had to go visit your cousin over in Sepphoris. Man, you missed it. So Thomas comes in later. He does it. Jesus said, you believe because you've seen. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe. So there is a benefit to not seeing stuff. And I've told you, I don't want to see nothing until I'm snatched away. I don't want any of those kinds of helps because I like it being a walk of faith. It's getting old, but I prefer it to miracles because, see, with Israel, once the miracles start, then you get a dependency, just like a government handout. You get dependent on it, then you sit around waiting for a miracle. Go out and gather the manna. Go out and get some quail. Hey, where's the quail? It's late today. You know, they get dependent. They just sit around. Same with the government handouts, like I said. So it encourages sloth, and we don't want that. So our spiritual muscles are exercised as our faith is exercised. So we're in a completely new administration that is by faith, not perception. That's how we're to be walking. Israel still on hold in accordance with Romans chapter 11. So God's not working actively with Israel right now. Their evangel can still be held onto. And, of course, read. Those circumcision books are still in the Bible, last time I looked. But they're a people in waiting. We are not a people in waiting. Well, we're waiting for some things like the change of our body. But we are living an evangel of faith that defies sight, defies healing, defies miracles. At the end of Paul's ministry in 2 Timothy, he tells Timothy in one of his letters, is it 1 Timothy? I don't know where it is, but he tells Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach. Why didn't Paul just take one of his socks and pass it and tell somebody to take it to Timothy and heal people? Because it wasn't the time for that. Even Paul, the guy who used to do that, even in his lifetime, it had gone away. So how away is it now? People today who claim to have the gift of healing, here's what you do to these people. Well, if you have the gift of healing, yes, I have the gift of healing. Well, let's go to the hospital and let's clear it out. Let's go to the cemetery and bring people up from the dead. If they have this miraculous Pentecostal power, but they don't. They don't. Those who are profiting by it, those who purport to inspire the Holy Spirit to arrive at a certain time at their command, at their behest, because they're the people, they are deceivers. They are deceived themselves. They're either purposely deceiving people to get money, i.e. Benny Hinn, Joel Osteen, or they are pretending, or they are deceived themselves, and they actually think these miracles are happening. I find that hard to believe. Which is not to say that there aren't false miracles, because there are, because this is an era, I believe, that is parallel to the era in our Lord's day where demonic activity was very active. It was very rife. The demons were flying all over the place in the days of our Lord because something important was happening on earth. The Messiah was on the earth. Satan is threatened. And so he sends his minions and he himself goes down trying to wreck things. And so Jesus is casting out demons left and right because that's the time period. Now we're entering a similar time period, the end of this eon, and we are also going to see demonic influences, and I think we are. In fact, how many people are in mental hospitals today? How many people are nuts? I don't mean that disrespectfully. How many people are afflicted by demons? And of course, Satan does it on both ends. He will create the problem, and then he will raise up the false teacher or the false apostle or the false minister, the false healer to heal the problem that Satan caused. But the healing itself is as deceptive as the thing Satan caused. It's just deception on both ends of it. Satan's burning both ends of the deception candle here. So I would be very, very wary of any miracle today. Some guy once told me, he might be listening to this show, I don't know, that in Africa they were literally raising people from the dead. Who they is, I don't know, but somebody was raising people from the dead in Africa. It could actually be true, but it's not a work of God. Relatively, it's a work of Satan, because we are in the days of false miracles. 2 Thessalonians, right? We're in the days of false miracles and empty seductions. The seductions have all the sound and fury of being real, but they're empty. There's nothing behind them. Well, except for satanic activity. You don't want to go anywhere near that. So my default setting is, oh, there's a healing. My default setting is it's false. Even if the healing's real, even if somebody was actually healed, don't want anything to do with it. Great, I'm glad you're better, but get me out of here. Get me the hell out of here. Not interested in it. I'm happy for the person. But many, many, many times the healing is an emotional experience, like on a stage at a, quote, revival, unquote, and people are all excited and the adrenaline's flowing through their bodies and they're on TV and I feel better. And they go home, it's like, ah, shit, my back's killing me. It's because nothing. It was all psychosomatic. It was all the excitement of the moment. Forget about it. Forget about it. So, no, don't trust it today. But again, when the tribulation begins, and 144,000 are going around, then you're going to see it starting up again. Then, oh yeah, the Israel machine, the Israel engine starting up again. And the miracles will be happening again. But before that time, we will be snatched away into celestial realms because nobody cares about us. Nobody will miss us. We're boring. We're not on television. It's a miracle that I'm on MZTV here, speaking to a few hundred people. We don't heal anybody. We're not exciting. We're just patiently enduring. But today, patient endurance, being a fruit of the Spirit, is worth much to God.